Illinois, the latest snowfall estimates range from around an inch over southeastern Illinois to nearly 4 inches over northwestern Illinois. Most of the snow will fall Saturday night, at least according to the latest forecast. As the storm system moves away, a strong north wind will bring much colder air into the region late Saturday night through Sunday night and into Monday. The wind will result in blowing and drifting snow. Wind chill readings will dip well below zero Sunday night and Monday morning. The Weather Service says it may change its forecast as the weekend approaches. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon: cloudy with a high of 30 and a south wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of light snow. This evening, the temperature will hold steady in the upper 20s. The wind will be out of the southwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 35. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 28. Saturday, there's a chance of rain in the morning. Rain is likely Saturday afternoon. It will be warmer, the high 38. Saturday night, snow is likely and an accumulation of several inches is possible, the low 25. Sunday, cloudy and colder with a chance of more snow, the high 25. The temperature will fall into the teens Sunday afternoon. Monday through Monday night, partly cloudy and cold, the high in the upper teens, the low in the single digits. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 20s to the mid 30s. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, it was 21 degrees. Bloomington Normal reported 24, 20 in Danville, 32 in Effingham, 36 at Carbondale. South Bend reported 25 degrees, as did Terre Haute, 24 at Lafayette. Indianapolis reported 27 degrees. At noon, it was 25 degrees at Willard Airport. The dew point 17, the wind out of the south at 14, giving us a wind chill at noon of 13. The relative humidity 72%, the barometric pressure 30.22 and falling, and skies were cloudy. At 12:39, 27 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois under cloudy skies.
Today's broadcast is made possible by the Friends of WILL and by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, located in Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377.
You may have heard that the government is planning to do away with incandescent light bulbs. And this has quite a few people worked up. Some House Republicans say they will repeal what is called a light bulb ban. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren sheds light on the repeal.
Conservative broadcaster Rush Limbaugh and a group of Republicans in Congress are trying to save the incandescent light bulb. They say it's threatened by new standards that start taking effect next year. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee told Fox News that once the new law kicks in, Americans will have no choice but to use compact fluorescent bulbs.
They are told by federal mandate, you have to buy this mercury-filled curlicue bulb. There has to be a stop to this overreach of the federal government.
So will the government really take away your choice in light bulbs? Randy Moorhead, vice president and lobbyist for Philips Electronics, says no.
There has been no ban on the incandescent light bulb. The incandescent light bulb actually lives. It's just going to be 30% more efficient.
An energy bill signed by President Bush 3 years ago requires light bulbs to use at least 30% less electricity than traditional bulbs. But Moorhead says in anticipation of the new standards, companies like his have started selling new incandescent bulbs that comply with the law. They're made with a slightly different technology than Thomas Edison's invention. They use halogen gas. Moorhead says consumers won't notice a difference in the way they look or work compared to old-fashioned incandescent bulbs.
They're just going to find their electricity bills are a lot lower.
The light bulb standards will start kicking in next month in California and will phase in across the rest of the country starting in 2012. But manufacturers say many customers already are choosing to switch to more efficient lighting. In recent years, the demand for incandescent bulbs has dropped by 50%. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News, Washington.
It's 12:42 Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine from Illinois Public Media. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Lydia Bastianich is all about family and food. She has a popular public television program, Lydia's Italy, is the author of several cookbooks, and is the chef owner of six restaurants. At the end of each episode of Lydia's Italy, she calls everyone to the table to enjoy the food, of course, but just as important, one another's company. And this includes children. In fact, her latest book is about children and Christmas. It's a book the entire family will enjoy. It's a picture book. It also contains recipes for Christmas treats. The title, Nona, Tell Me a Story, Lydia's Christmas Kitchen. Nona being Italian for grandmother. In addition to the book, there's a companion television show by the same name. It will air on our companion television station, WILL TV HD 12.3. That's our high-definition Create channel. Here's the date and times it will be shown. December 18th at 10:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m., and at 10:30 p.m. And it's my pleasure to welcome Lydia to the Afternoon Magazine. So good to talk with you. How are you?
How are you doing, Celeste?
I am well. My pleasure. So at this time of year, your grandchildren want to hear your stories of Christmas time in Italy when you were a girl. What kinds of questions do your grandchildren ask you about that time and place?
Well, my grandchildren range from 8 to 12, and sort of they've grown up, of course, with these stories, but they do ask ever more stories about what life was supposed to be eat. What was my favorite food? What were the fruits? How about the animals? Because my grandmother had all the animals. We had a courtyard animals. And how was it to play with the baby goats and all of that and making the sausages? They're really getting interested into the actual, growth and fabrication of food.
One theme of the book is self-reliance. The story highlights how self-reliant your family was when it came to food, and you talk about your grandparents' farm. So is there something to be learned today from this lesson?
Absolutely, Celeste. I think, the whole movement, if we have realized that, what we are eating, what we are given to buy in packaged goods in stores, in fast foods, it's really manipulated food. It's not food that nature has, directly taken from nature. And I think that's going back to closeness to nature, closeness to the seasons. I mean, it's what my grandparents practice. It is what nature, it's the natural way. And so I think if there's a story to be learned, of course, one cannot go retro and get a courtyard with all these animals in these days, but we surely can go and look when we buy that we buy for those animals that are raised conscientiously, the vegetables that are seasonal, that are local. Why do we need some fruit or vegetable to fly 24 hours from somewhere to get it to us when we can get it in June or something like that?
Mm. What do you remember most vividly about Christmas at your grandparents' home in Italy? I'm thinking of the smells that the kitchen, in the kitchen, and that went through the entire house.
Absolutely, Celeste. The olfactory, the smells, it's such a great recall of memories. And I certainly have a good reference library of them, and I recall them vividly. And even today, when I kind of cook and duplicate, or if I get into a situation and a smell kind of whiffs by my nose, that brings me mm-hmm. right back to those memories. So it was the smell. It was actually the eating. But you know what it was? It was this kind of bustling around this courtyard, in and out of kitchens, grandmas, great aunts, the kids. Everybody had something to do. And it was just sitting around the table and eating and sharing and enjoying. And as kids, we would run off from the table and play hide and seek, in and out. And 3 hours later, 3 hours later, the grown-ups would still be at the table. And, one would wonder, what would keep them? What is so good about the table? But I guess I realize now.
Yeah. Why is it important for families to have these kinds of traditions?
I think tradition certainly gave me a real perspective of who I am. It gave me strength. It gave me roots. And I think, you know, and that's inclusive, of course, of the food, of the extended family, of the setting. You know, I felt like I really belonged. I was wanted. And that strong kind of background, it was a springboard for me to jump off and to really pursue my life with kind of serenity and knowledge that, yeah, I can do it.
Hmm. Do your grandchildren, do they have a favorite tradition at this point in time?
Yeah, absolutely. They have traditions. Of course, the baking of certain things and the helping of cutting, you know, the frittelo, the zeppole is a tradition and they look forward for every year. The crostoli, which is the fried bow ties, they look forward to those every time. And, you know, a strange thing that they look forward to for the holidays is the capon soup with tortellini. They love the tortellini there. And that's, you know, true at every age. Since, you know, as soon as they could start eating, they would get that. And it's kind of, they really, are we going to have the tortellini soup, Grandma? And so on. So that's great.
Well, tortellini is such a wonderful dish for children. What a wonderful thing to have. It makes everyone happy, but the kids really love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that's their main meal. And one is happy about it because, you know, certainly a good capon stock is nutritious. And then you have a little pasta. Then you have the proteins that the pasta is stuck with. So, you know, if they have a little vegetable before or after, they have their meal.
Well, Lydia, I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Celeste. Thank you for having me, and I wish everybody a great holiday around the table full of good food and love.
Thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Celeste.
Bye-bye. Lydia Bastianich. Her latest book is a picture book. It is for the entire family. The title, Nona, Tell Me a Story, Lydia's Christmas Kitchen.